It's in the setting of Acts chapter 2 where the Pentecost has come, where the believers have been equipped to tell of the glories of God in the languages of those present, where Peter has been anointed to preach and the fishermen truly became the fisher of men, and 3,000 became believers. And in verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, then in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Now, like many of you present here, we get called upon from time to time to go and lead church anniversaries. And I've been invited once or twice to do centenaries. And one such centenary was at the Wigan Central Hall. And before I went, I read a booklet called The Wigan Miracles, a history of the Queen Hall mission. And in that, Ronald Charlton had said, God can do what he has done before. God can also do more. God can also do a new thing beyond all our dreams. And as I read that passage from Pentecost, is that a distant memory for the church? Or is it a vision for today? When that church in Wigan looked back to the days between September 1904 and August 1907, the Lord added to their number 2,249 people who were saved and discipled. Imagine, you look back on that history, and there aren't that many now in that mission, but it's doing a key work amongst refugees and asylum seekers. And as I look back, even as I do, I remember my first Sunday school class had 37-year-old boys in it. And when you go to places, so often there is a sense of despair. We've a glorious past, but both ministers and congregations mourn over falling numbers, failing programs, and closing churches. And as you know, nationally, we've had to face up to that. Nationally, we've had to go through a 3-year period of looking at connectional structures until we came to that point in the conference last year where we agreed to do certain things. And the connectional structures have been reduced, and many people are grieving over the loss of jobs. But what I believe we're being asked to do is not to look to the glorious past, but to look at today. To look who we have in our congregations and to begin the work of going for growth. What I want to share with you over this weekend is a mission statement which God has laid upon my heart as a personal mission statement, It's the mission statement of one of the churches in my last circuit, and it is now the mission statement for the circuit as a whole where I minister. Where we start where we are at the however many hundreds, or tens, or less, who are in the fellowship, and look how growth can occur from where we are to where God might want us to be. In my last circuit, there was a church which had been planted some years ago called Coleshaw. And for the first 4 or 5 years of my ministry there, we were ministering to a group of 4 to 8, if we were fortunate. And then we had a prayer meeting, and we had a sense of God saying to us that those who are not my people will become my people. And we were given the opportunity to move out of a shop, to be part of a community centre. And over the next few years, that church grew to about 40 people. It's where God has us now. And what we can begin to do to put in a going for growth. And so we will look at the model that Peter and the disciples introduced for these 3,000 new believers. And we will look at growing deeper into Christ, growing stronger in unity and love for one another. We will look at growing into the community, and we will look at the way in which and the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. But the Sunday session in the afternoon has changed somewhat, and I believe that there is a message that God has prophetically laid upon my heart, which I need to share with you. And I'm just looking, as we all are, with where we're at now, and seeking as the way that we as individuals within our local churches, as ministers and evangelism enablers in our circuits and districts, and met as an organisation within Methodism, can begin to equip, enable and encourage people to go for growth. I know that I'm in a fortunate ministry to be in Knutsford Methodist Church, which has seen the growth of 100 people in membership in 9 years, where we've had to extend in order to take the congregation. And we can see that people are being added to our number each and every week. And I want to bring some encouragement, whilst also being a circuit minister where there are only very tiny green shoots in some of the churches and some notes of desperation in another. So I'm bringing a message of hope, but a message that I believe is true, that God wants to add to our number those who are being saved. And I pray that God will speak to us over this weekend at ways that you and I can begin to do that within our churches. So I hope that whets the appetite, that you sleep well, and that we wait refreshed, ready for a time of refreshing. Thank you. I read recently about a revival that happened in France, and the minister could not understand what was going on until he looked back through the history. And centuries before, someone had faithfully done the work and he had been martyred for his faith. And as a result of that, God showed him that that man's prayers centuries before had resulted in what was happening now. Those who come into any role within Met receive a letter from Peter Barker. And when you read the letter, you realize that what is happening now is a result of all those who have prayed in the last 50, 60 years. So I want to thank God for all of the foundations and all of the people who have worked up to this point. And I would publicly like to give my thanks to Paul Smith, who I regard to be, it's my view, the best preacher in Methodism at the moment. The one who has brought the Word of God to life for so many people, and the one who has been so involved in the politics of the church, and through his personal sacrifice has enabled it, we hope, that things like human sexuality might just go off the agenda for a while to allow us to get on with other things. And I would like to thank God for him. The situation at the moment with Met is that we are probably stronger than we have ever been. In terms of membership, I think we're around 2,500, but come to the AGM and we'll have the latest figures. But during the last few months, many people have started to become members. The change of name, the change of logo, the change of magazine has all had some effect in bringing younger people into Met, and we thank God for that. We do praise God that during the restructuring process that we're going through, that God has raised up Martin Atkins to be our General Secretary. And knowing Mark Wakelin, as I do, that he's a fellow traveller, and John Ellis is a leading evangelical in the United Reformed Church, and there's a real sense that at the heart of Methodism, there are those who hold the scriptures with authority who will be leading us forward. That as we look at our chairs of district, so many now, we're probably close to double figures, who are evangelicals and who have a pastoral responsibility and a mission responsibility for the church. We thank God for what's happening at Cliff College, for the new appointment of Chris as the principal. And all of these things seem to be coming together. And I thank you for you, because that's what it's all about. For the laity and those ministers who are out in the fields doing the work in local churches, raising the witness to Scripture, faithfully praying in the power of the Spirit, doing the work of God. We have much to thank God for, and I personally thank you all for all of your prayers and for all of your faithful work in and through the Southwest and indeed of Met members throughout the nations. Thank you. I read recently about a revival that happened in France, and the minister could not understand what was going on until he looked back through the history. And centuries before, someone had faithfully done the work and he had been martyred for his faith. And as a result of that, God showed him that that man's prayers centuries before had resulted in what was happening now. Those who come into any role within Met receive a letter from Peter Barker. And when you read the letter, you realize that what is happening now is a result of all those who have prayed in the last 50, 60 years. So I want to thank God for all of the foundations and all of the people who have worked up to this point. And I would publicly like to give my thanks to Paul Smith, who I regard to be, it's my view, the best preacher in Methodism at the moment. The one who has brought the Word of God to life for so many people, and the one who has been so involved in the politics of the church, and through his personal sacrifice has enabled it, we hope, that things like human sexuality might just go off the agenda for a while to allow us to get on with other things. And I would like to thank God for him. The situation at the moment with MET is that we are probably stronger than we have ever been. In terms of membership, I think we're around 2,500, but come to the AGM and we'll have the latest figures. But during the last few months, many people have started to become members. The change of name, the change of logo, the change of magazine has all had some effect in bringing younger people into MET, and we thank God for that. We do praise God that during the restructuring process that we're going through, that God has raised up Martin Atkins to be our General Secretary. And knowing Mark Wakelin, as I do, that he's a fellow traveller, and John Ellis is a leading evangelical in the United Reformed Church, and there's a real sense that at the heart of Methodism, there are those who hold the scriptures with authority who will be leading us forward. That as we look at our chairs of district, so many now, we're probably close to double figures, who are evangelicals and who have a pastoral responsibility and a mission responsibility for the church. We thank God for what's happening at Cliff College, for the new appointment of Chris as the principal. And all of these things seem to be coming together. And I thank you for you, because that's what it's all about. For the laity and those ministers who are out in the fields doing the work in local churches, raising the witness to Scripture, faithfully praying in the power of the Spirit, doing the work of God. We have much to thank God for, and I personally thank you all for all of your prayers and for all of your faithful work in and through the Southwest, and indeed of MET members throughout the nations. Thank you.